Will you also turn with me to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 9 and from verse 38? And our text will come from this passage. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 9 and from verse 38. And Jesus answered him, saying, Master, we saw, and John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be sorted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be sorted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Last week, thinking that there would be those who were very afraid of COVID, and who were wondering about it, and I was encouraging them to turn to the Lord, I took as my text something that occurred five times. I said four at the time, and Viv reminded me of a fifth. For all this, all the various sins that are listed, for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his arm is stretched out still. There are many, many things that anger God. It's why the Lord, why John the Baptist said to those who came to him, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He was aware they hadn't come genuinely. He was aware they hadn't come with the intention of listening carefully to his message. They'd come for a day out. The scribes and the Pharisees, they had come in order to find something that John said wrong. And so he said to them, who has warned you? Nobody had. To flee from the wrath to come. And that was John's message. He was going to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to preach about him as the Lamb of God, the one who was coming, and who would forgive the sins of all those who repented and changed. But it was in regard to the wrath of God, that the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this world. And we turn this afternoon to another place where there are three repetitions of one sort and two of another, giving us five altogether. In 9 verse 43, about going into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 45 of Luke 9, it's better not to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, then having two eyes, to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. We here are at the heart of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the one hand, there is heaven, and on the other hand, there is hell. But actually, the words I want you to mention here are in verse 47 at the end. Hell, fire. Hell, fire. They used to talk about hellfire preachers who were always preaching damnation and the dangers of passing into hell. I think people got fed up with their preaching because it didn't change much from week to week. And also because they had a certain attitude of, well, we're a little better from you and we are superior to those of you who are bound for hell. However, we all should remember that this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And he does not shy away from speaking about hellfire or to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. I think when you reflect about the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, you could think how wonderful a man he was, how sinless, that never man spake like this man. And it ought to give us, to give special consideration to those things that he didn't often say. He wasn't a hellfire preacher, but that he did sometimes say. He spoke of hellfire. That means first and foremost that there must be such a thing. Where is it? It's future. Is it contemporaneous with heaven? Yes, it is. When do we go to heaven if we do? After death. When do we go to hell? If we do. After death. And Jesus here is, if you like, letting us into an open secret. But he's aiming to get us thinking seriously of the issues that we ought to determine in our lives. I can never read the story of the angels coming to Lot and saying they were going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that he should go and tell his family, get them together and bring them out. Now, he had three daughters and a wife, and the three daughters were married. And we read in the scriptures that when he went to warn them, his daughters did come with him. But the description of the sons-in-law is this, that he seemed to them as one that mocked. So in the face of an imminent threatening danger, like 10 hours to go to destruction, they thought he was mocking. And when the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, very many people are careless, as if there were not a serious side of all this matter. Let me show you the serious side from this text. Jesus says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me. Now, there are many school teachers that have sought to offend believing children who've been at school and sought to witness. There are many people, our employers and people across the world, who have sought to poo-poo the whole idea of our faith. Jesus says they would be very wise to consider that he says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. The picture is literal, but the significance is spiritual. It speaks about an early death for not believing the gospel and for mocking those who do. It displeases the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, intensely. And he's saying now that certain things would be better than the hellfire that will be the inevitable consequence. But the thing that would be better is so appalling, the millstone cast around the neck and us cast into the sea, that it makes the hellfire seem still more appalling. Of course it is. The millstone dragging us down into the depths to drown is a one-off. The hellfire is for eternity. And then Jesus says, well, now, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Again, he's giving a literal example, but the things that our hands do, those who write out a false check, those who write a lying book or a pornographic book, anything like that. But if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Now, actually, the cutting off of a hand, which is what some barbaric folks do for a thief, but the cutting off of hand does not actually cause the mind to repent. It may prevent you doing certain things with your hands, if it needs both hands, but actually the cutting off of the hand doesn't take away a bitter spirit, doesn't take away a disbelieving heart. So there is no such thing as having to better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. But you see, nobody actually goes to heaven maimed. The resurrection from the dead makes our bodies twice as vibrant, twice as fit, fit for eternity, never going to be ill, never going to suffer pain. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed. That's not a nice prospect. We talk of life-changing injuries if somebody's involved in an accident. These things are not very, very nice to think of. But that would be better than going into hell. Now you see what Jesus is doing here. He's making sure that people understand the vital consequences. And I've talked to enough people in my life and remember what I was like as a youngster to know that most people don't take you very seriously when you talk of the gospel, when you talk of the Lord Jesus, when you talk of the forgiveness of sins, when you say they're sinners, when you're saying that the destiny of sin is to be forever separated from the Lord and to endure the punishment of hell. You lose them. And the last thing that Jesus advises is that we should ever lose the possibility of comparing the consequences of hell with the consequences of believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed. Human life we can, and it's not very nice. Heavenly life we can't, because we'll be made perfect. Than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Let's think about that. We have eternal souls. There is a part of us that cannot die. No creature that has ever lived on earth, human creature, there is no human creature who has not had an eternal soul. When our bodies die, our souls are loosed from the body. And they will live forever. And when the Lord returns and our bodies are joined back to our souls come and our bodies are changed into everlasting habitations. They are become perfect. In the case of those who are unbelievers in Christ, the same will happen till judgment day. And at the judgment day, they will enter into hellfire. I'll turn you to where the Lord Jesus says that in a little while. When we have our renewed bodies, we shall be much, 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 much more sensitive and much, much more understanding than we ever were before. But likewise, for those who are going to enter into hellfire with their bodies, they shall be much, much more sensitive, much, much more sensitive to the pain, much, much more agonized in their conscience because of their new bodies than they ever dreamt before. And it always helps me to understand the terror of this situation when I think like this. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is that God is going to all the bother with all that is entailed of raising our bodies from the dead to live forever with him. Think of the opposite. That God is going to all the bother to raise from the dead the bodies of those who have been opposed to him, who have not believed the gospel, who have done these other things. Not only will they be more sensitive to the pain, but God is making sure that after death, the judgment, that there will be no escape for those who don't believe. And it's that awfulness. There are two ways. Doesn't matter what you do in life. It's either heaven or it's hell. And the Lord speaks about the broad way and the narrow gate. The majority, therefore, do not go to heaven. The majority go to hell. And we are thinking, obviously, of billions, if not trillions, of people down the years. Oh, you say God is an unkind God to do this. He is not. He's angry for the disobedience of mankind and will not have with him all this situation over again. Nobody whose sins are not blotted out can or will enter. However, all of us do those things that we fancy doing. And just like when we were young, we hope we're not caught. We like to do the things we like, but we hope we're not punished. And God is simply saying, continue doing the things you like, but you will be punished. And in terms of what you've done, you may think that it's a disproportionate punishment, but inasmuch as it's done to an eternal God, whose values are eternal, then this punishment is not disproportionate. There can be no place for you ever again in his presence. Now, these are the things that the Lord Jesus is declaring. It is better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Two interesting words here. Never to be quenched is the word asbestos, unburnable. And the other word is Gehenna, the word for hell. Now, there was a place just outside Jerusalem called Hinnom, and it was known as Gehinnom. And Gehenna comes from that. And it was a dreadful place. The fires of Gehinnom never, ever stopped burning. And there were placed all the rubbish, all the dead vermin that they'd captured, all the dry bones, absolutely everything was flung there. It didn't smell nice, smelled acrid. And of course it was an example to those who saw it of what hell would be like if you made the mistake of falling for it. And of course it had the one more terrible difference. In Gehenna, the word that gives the name to hell, the fire never stopped burning. But all that was thrown into it was consumed. In hell, the fire never stops burning. But those who are cast into it will never be consumed. So the Lord Jesus himself says here, and just to make sure that we don't misunderstand it, he repeats it a number of times. The fire that never shall be quenched. I can't pretend to describe it. It could be you could think of a fire as a fire would purify gold. And if dross could hurt, how the dross itself would hurt when it fell off. But there's no purification here. This is destruction. Not a destruction that would put someone out of existence, but a destruction of the soul in terms of turning to the Lord. A fire that never shall be quenched. It continues always burning. I often can't get my head around the burning. If you see a conflagration, an inferno, it is a terrible sight. When the world should be burned up, that will be terrible to be involved in, and no wonder that by then Christians will be removed from the earth. But Jesus is speaking of a fire that never shall be quenched. And he goes on to say, where their worm dieth not, together with, and the fire is not quenched. Worms, I suppose, may eat away dead flesh. But the thought here is not only when you're in this state is your body being tortured, but your conscience, more awake than ever, will be full of regrets, full of desires to be away from this place. Everything will be heightened. The fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. What more persuasive language could Jesus use to speak of the horrors that await those who do not believe in him? So I would beg you to take seriously and not to be careless about this whole matter of believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, with a slightly different emphasis, in verse 45, the Lord says, if thy foot offend thee, in other words, if it's not so much your hands that do things, but your feet, activated by your mind, of course, that go to do this bad thing or to that bad place, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Well, you would have deduced that from what he said before, wouldn't you? But Jesus makes it explicit. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. This is an awful warning from the Son of God of the reality of the afterlife. Part of the problem when people are careless is they don't think there is any other life but this. But you see, how can you live and not give account? Some people have said to me, well, I'm sure when I die, it'll be just like before I was born. I shan't remember anything. But we've an account to give for the lives we've lived. We have to tell the Lord about all the things we've said, about all the things we've thought. But by then, I trust we will be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. But the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The next time, the third time, the Lord changes the language into hellfire. No different. Hellfire is no different from the fire that is not quenched into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. But it's a very vivid expression. If thine eye offend thee, if like David, who beheld Bathsheba, if our eye leads us into sin, there are many other ways in which the eye can do it. Pluck it out. Not literally, because if you only had one eye, you'd be still capable of thinking lustfully and doing this again. Pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God, which with one eye, which is impossible because we'll be perfect, than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. This is Jesus. Never mind the ranting preachers. This is Jesus. Never mind the fact that he doesn't refer to it often. If anything, it ought to make us think the more seriously when he does. Having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. There is a fire. And there is a hell. And there is a wrath of God. and there is an anguish that God, being eternal, is visited upon those who have offended his eternal majesty. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. People may say, I don't want to serve such a God. He's a cruel God. But he isn't. He's just warning sinners that there is a dire consequence of the things that are done if their sins are not blotted out by the blood of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do come to him. Do take the whole matter seriously. The gospel is still being preached. You may think realistically about your sins. Most people would gloss over them. Perhaps they'd hear the preacher say, repent, and they think, oh, well, yes, I'll repent of this sin, but we'll leave out the more serious ones. Play as if those things had never happened. But these sins must be blotted out by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, must be repented of, and the merits of the Lord Jesus applied to you, and those things that you have done no longer counted against you. Else this fire of hell awaits, and it is a serious matter. Just to show you that this is not the only time that Jesus talks about it, will you look with me to Matthew 25? This is a later piece of teaching. And it refers, if you like, to what he said about whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, you shall not lose your reward. So in Matthew 25, turn to verse 31. Let me read it to you. But all I want you to notice for the purpose of what we're doing is it's the same Saviour, quite near the time of his death, speaking about the same fire. When the Son of Man shall come in all his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, I'm not going into the theology of this today. I'm merely after fire. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. But that refers back to 41. Depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. And the Lord hints also, it's a bit more than a hint, in the parable of the tares. Do you remember that the devil sowed in the field of the Saviour? He sowed weeds. And when they began to come up, looking a bit like the corn, but recognisable, the employees, disciples of the Lord Jesus, asked him, shall we root them up now? And Jesus said, no, wait till harvest, then take out the tares first, bind them into bundles and burn them. That's the destiny of those whom tares represent. I do beseech thee to take these matters very seriously. And I finish with almost the last words in the Bible. There's 22 chapters in Revelation, and I'm referring you to the last verse of chapter 20. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Cast. Thrown out. I finish by saying simply how undignified and dishonouring is the beginning of the new life of those who are condemned. Cast them. Throw them. You might vulgarly say chuck them into the lake of fire. There is nothing to be gained. There is nothing honourable in resisting Christ. All religions are not the same. And even the Christian religion is much to be afraid if you do not come personally to the person of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness he earned you on the cross. Amen.